Once upon a time, there was a documentary called Our Father, and Sean was like, hey guys, let's do an episode on this. So here we are, 5 episodes into our last season, doing an episode on this.
Yay! Yay! Don't say we don't keep our promises.
Yeah! Yeah, she! My name is Sean.
I'm Rachel.
And we have the honor and privilege to replace Alan with a very beautiful person, Jessie.
Aw, thanks for having Yay. Me.
You're welcome.
I love colts. Yay.
And I love, out of all the episodes, it fell on this one.
Oh, yes.
I have 2 people in front of me who are very womanist and hate womanist. Everything about what a lot of this cult stands for.
I hate men. I'm just kidding.
Well, if you didn't before,
you will now.
Just wait.
I am ready.
So, full disclaimer, we're doing something a little differently, culties, for Jessie does not know all the details about the Quiverful movement. So we will be weaving a tale to them about this group.
Yeah. I will be experiencing it, much like you, dear listener.
Yes.
Probably with much horror.
Yes. Yes.
Well, just like the start of any episode, I would like to start off by reading from Psalm 127.
Let us open our psalm books.
Hold hands.
No, I'm not doing that. You know I have sweaty palms. And this is the King James version, of course.
Mm-hmm. That King James.
Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh. But in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for bread makes you fat.
Bread makes you fat?
Yeah. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward.
Oh, as, giving people underwear.
Yeah, well, wait till we get to... Oh, underwear. Fruit of the womb, not loom.
Womb, not loom. Okay.
I think you're going to love this part 4. There's 5 parts here.
Wow.
As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth.
Oh.
Let's just think about that for a minute.
Children of the youth.
I don't want to think about it.
I don't either. Okay. But here's the important one. Number 5. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them.
Oh.
They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate.
Gotta get ready for those enemies.
In the gate.
Very intense. Like, kids at the gate talking to the enemies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly my favorite psalm. For years, I have brought this psalm up to all my friends.
I have it tattooed on my left butt cheek.
Oh, nice. Right next to the Care Bear heart.
Yeah. That's the right butt cheek. Half of that is true.
We'll let you decide.
So I read that because this is where this group got their name, Quiverful. And what's really weird, I didn't realize this. This is a really like new cult. This started really in like 77 to 85. So a lot of these members didn't even know they were Quiverful. Like people would be like, are you Quiverful? And they're like, what's that?
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the things we'll be examining in this is a little bit is like there's the idea of the organization of a cult, and then there's also the idea of a movement where it's like people all have a certain kind of belief and all follow it, but they're not necessarily gathering together and having, you know, meetings about it. They're not moving to a compound together. But, and maybe some of them are living on a compound together because of how many babies they're popping out.
Basically.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to remind everybody before we get started on this group, so the documentary Our Father is about a doctor who is artificially inseminating his patients with his own semen in order to make more babies. So this was, I mean, for the obvious reason, problematic, because in one case specifically, the couple was under the impression that they were using the husband's semen,
in
but the doctor used his, in many cases, Or in some cases, the doctor, when there wasn't a man present, the doctor would be like, oh, I'm just using some random semen, and then go into the back and touch himself, pleasure himself, and come back and
make some fresh semen.
Inseminate using his own. And the purpose was to make as many of his own children as possible.
Yes.
So, of course, they mention Quiverful in this documentary, but it's only a quick little, like, 2-minute blurb. So I was like, we need to talk about this.
Yes.
And here we are.
Here we are doing it, talking about it.
Yeah. And I was telling Rachel earlier, I've decided you are the antithesis. You are the arch nemesis. You are the villain to this group.
I am like Satan to them.
I told her instead of Virgin Mary, they have Heathen Rachel.
Yes.
That they warn their children about.
I'm here for this message. I would like to see my, like, statues, my iconography. I want to see it.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
So let's get into why this is Rachel's most hated group ever. So I learned two different new terms to me. You probably heard of them. So one of them was the term fundy.
Oh, yeah. A fundamental.
Fundamentalist Christian. And then dominion theology.
Oh, that one's new to me.
So this is the idea of a group repopulating in God's name. So we've seen this in a lot of different groups, but this is like one of the big tenets of this one.
Yes.
So some of the basic tenets before we get into the history, much like a lot of fundamentalist religions, the husbands are the spiritual heads of the family.
They are the ones that know. We gotta follow what they say.
Yeah, they were born with a penis, so they have a lot more rights for that reason that they chose.
It's true. I mean, a penis really does heighten your value as a person, I feel, so... How's that boiling rage over there?
Faces are being made.
Yikes.
Wives are expected to stay at home and serve their hubs.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have a job.
Not allowed to have
your
a job.
Your job is taking care of the husband and the home and the children, which is a fucking full-time job. But besides the point. Yeah.
I will say, I mean, I'm not going to give these men much, but I will say they at least recognize that, like, a lot of them are like, my wife has the harder job. So they know that raising the kids are a pain. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to give them any other props, I promise.
No other props.
No other props.
They got their one prop.
That's it.
Give them one of those, like, prop boxes where they have to choose out a prop and then create a story around it.
Yeah.
We need an improv game.
We need, like, a... We need, like, one of those sound bites for, like a weird whoopee cushion. Like, here's the man prop.
Oh, no.
Fart sound.
I like fart sound.
Yeah, there you go.
Are one of those, like, So this group is one that does not believe in birth control. They believe that the number of children you have is in the Lord's hands.
Yes. And it's his will.
It's his will.
So, like, if it's his will that you not have children, then you won't be pregnant. And you shouldn't be taking any actions on your own behalf to influence whether or not you have children. But it's okay, because if you have children, God will provide.
Yeah, that was something that I looked up, because you mentioned something interesting. What if you're infertile? It's looked at as, well, that's God's plan for you, so you shouldn't do anything to try to have your own children, because this is what's been chosen for you.
They said that adoption was okay, but nothing like artificial IVF. Insemination. Okay. You shouldn't do anything like that, because that's not his plan. But they actually do look kindly upon adoption, because then there's also a lot of the children that come from adoption have been born of sinners, clearly.
Oh, my God.
And so you can save these children by teaching them the values and love of Christ. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise.
Praise me.
Under, what is it? Under his eye?
Under his eye.
Under his eye. Yeah. Under his eye. Yeah, this is the thing. We need to start calling ourselves of, we're of Sean today. Both of us are of Sean.
Oh, good. I'm going to have my
what about,
with you.
What about non-binary folks?
Oh, yeah.
I am... Give me an alien. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that's not respected, though. I'm pretty sure you have to be one or the other.
100% positive it's not.
You need to take your place in the kitchen, bitch.
You can be a Martha if you like. Oh, go be a Martha.
Jeez.
So it's said that this group has actually been growing in the past few years, also along with like Mormonism and some of these other religions. I think we've had Vicky on the show before say that COVID has kind of changed the landscape of these groups because they have people who are depressed at home, secluded with nothing but the internet, and they turn to these groups because they're finding people to talk to.
Gotta find that acceptance somewhere. Yep. If you can't find it in your own heart, definitely find it externally, everyone.
Love bombing! So it said this group has thousands to tens of thousands of members, with most members living in, where do you think?
Oh, Oklahoma.
I mean, Indiana. In the world.
Oh, America!
America!
Is it America?
It's America. This is a very American group, Quiverful.
America.
America.
I love Dodge Ray. I love Dodge Rams.
It said that the average family size for Quiverful is, how many do you think? Give me a bracket.
10.
To what?
15.
Okay. Oddly specific.
I'm going to vote 17 and a half.
Rachel got it on the nose, 10 to 15. Where did you get the half?
I don't know. I was just trying to be unique.
Yeah, it's 10 to 15.
Oh, it's so smart.
And I looked this up just for curiosity's sake. The record for the most natural births. What do you think that is from a single person?
Oh. I mean.
Like, did they all live?
5 to 7. Oh, natural six. Okay, successful birth. 5 to 7. I don't know.
15.
No. 66.
From one person?
From one person, 66 babies.
They probably lost. Like, the babies probably died. Yeah, like, some probably died in birth, and I bet some of them also died, like, after.
Yeah.
That's too many.
That's a dream of yours, just to shoot out babies.
Like. If you take 9 months, I know, I'm sitting here like, this,
and times it.
This person was just consistently
birthing. You said 66? Mm-hmm. So 9 times 66 equals, divided by 12 equals, so for 49 and a half years of this person's life, they were birthing babies. Though, I guess if they, well, but they couldn't be natural births if they were, like, lost earlier.
I guess
in pregnancy.
If they had twins or triplets.
Yeah,
two.
Okay, there could be twins and triplet, but.
Yeah, that just does not sound great. So now that we've set up this really happy story for you, let's get into some of the history here.
Yeah.
So. This hasn't really been substantiated, but in the 19th and 20th century, we really made a lot of progress with contraceptives.
Yes.
So that's where, well, that part's been proven, but that's where a lot of people say Quiverful, the idea came from, is kind of the backlash to the religious thoughts behind contraception.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, I mean, in general, it's not always, like, contraceptives aren't really kind of championed by the church. Like, I know, mm-hmm. I don't think they're
not
as like vocal against it, but like, I know the Catholic Church
right.
was incredibly against contraceptives, like,
right,
mm-hmm. at all. And that's why there was always jokes. Like, if you watch old Monty Python things, they have jokes around like Catholics and like them having like all these kids, and there's a whole song about not using condoms.
Old song and dance.
Oh no. Yeah. That old song and dance.
That old song and dance. So yeah, they think, well, because obviously, you guys, sex is only for bearing children. Like,
obviously,
whoever,
that's why it feels good.
Whoever thinks that it's supposed to be for pleasure is clearly of Satan.
Well, of I mean.
Sex magic.
Stop it. So, and this harkens back, I think we need to really get into where this belief came from. Back in ye olde day.
Ye olde
day. Ye olde day. People were dying left and right of, like, dysentery. I played Oregon Trail. I know what's up.
Yes. We know how that happens. Times were rough.
Yeah, times were rough. So
you were not
were
able
dying.
To caulk your wagon.
Yeah.
And you have fallen into the river. You should always pay the ferryman. Go on.
So naturally, the churches are like, hey, guys, you need to make tons of babies because that's what we need you to do to keep our churches alive.
Because half the babies will die.
Yeah. So, fast forward to now, we still have these beliefs in the Bible, but people are taking it very literally and still living by it.
And meanwhile, our technology has improved, and not all the babies, not half the babies are dying in birth or in young childhood. Like, yeah. We're actually doing pretty good.
Modern medicine and like, science.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Childhood mortality going way down. Now the largest cause is not illness, it is guns. Just going to point that out.
Yep.
It is guns.
Guns.
That's the biggest threat to children in this country.
It really is.
100%. It is. So yeah, like it's like they have this value that was made for a very specific reason. And despite the reason going away, the value still persists.
Yeah. Well, and we'll talk soon too. There's, I think, still a reason for it. And it's because a lot of these churches, I guess we'll talk about it now.
We got to compete with the Muslims, yo.
Well, a lot of the churches are dwindling in number. So now we have our best way to get new members is for them to be born into the church.
And don't forget the Muslims.
And the Muslims.
The Muslims have lots of babies.
Yeah.
If we don't have enough babies, we're not going to have enough Aryan children to compete with the Muslims.
Did you just grow a small mustache? What?
I thought I took care of that this morning.
Why are you putting your hand up and saying, "Heil me"?
Oh, my God.
So, back to the story, sorry. In 1977, a book came out called Above Rubies, written by Nancy Campbell. Oh,
not of the soup.
Not of the soup.
And not, I like to think that I'm not related to her. I'm not part of that Campbell line. I'm part of the Campbell line that slaughtered their ancestors, you know, but not this Campbell line.
Rachel's always telling on herself on name. She's always bringing this up.
And like, how bad is this book then that she's like, no, we slaughtered people. We did just not so write you this.
Know. We just didn't, you know, pay attention to the rules of hospitality. And that's fine. They were cattle thieves. They didn't pay their taxes.
They even reference this in Mad Men.
Do they?
Oh, yeah, because Pete Campbell, he's one of the characters, and he gets called out at a party.
For being a Campbell.
Yeah, and he's like, it's a 200-year-old story.
Well, if you go to Scotland nowadays and you let them know you're a Campbell, you will still be slightly shunned. It's fine. It's fine.
Anyway, Nancy Campbell, she wrote this book that glorifies women staying at home and popping out children.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of women like picked up this book and they're like, oh, look, I have purpose.
Yeah, you know, being in the job force was really challenging and I should just stay home and support my man and my family.
So this got the ball rolling. What really kicked off Quiverful, though, is in 1985, 1 year after the two gods entered this earth on April 8th and April 22nd.
Oh, my God. The true gods.
The true gods.
A second. I was like,
those are our birthdays. So in 1985, a second book came out by Mary Pride called The Way Home, Beyond Feminism, Back to Reality.
Back to reality.
Back to reality. That was fun. Back to reality. The reason why this was a big deal is Mary was a big feminist, a big activist, and she wrote the book basically saying, hey, y'all, my life sucked as a feminist.
And I realized the error of my ways. And let me tell you women what we need to do. And clearly she has a southern voice.
Clearly,
I don't know,
sugar.
Yeah, as soon as you said, hey, y'all, I was like, oh.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all. So she wrote this book talking about how becoming a fundie, which we now all understand what that is, has made her life better. And her life is more full and she's gotten better and she's happier. So this is something that women within the church really turned to, because this was like saying, hey, look, this person came from the outside world and their life sucked.
Yes.
And a lot of the preachers were like, what should I do with this book? I should preach about it because I'm telling my woman that it's fun to be subjugated.
Yes. Look at this. This person was a feminist. See what happens when you're a feminist? Your life isn't fun. Yeah, you have quote-unquote rights. But, I mean,
you're seen
do you
as a
need
person.
Those? Just trust in your husband.
And she was still upset. She was still miserable.
Yeah. So this is a quote from Mary Pride. I will read it with the southern accent for you.
Thank you.
The church's sin, which has caused us to become unsavory salt, incapable of uplifting the society around us, is selfishness, lack of love, refusing to consider children an unmitigated blessing. In a word, family planning. That's actually two words of Mary Pride.
actually, that was two words. That's one of the things that, like, I hate is when people say that not having children is selfish. Yeah. Like, what? How is that selfish? Like, deciding what you want for yourself and not, like, I don't know. It's not, like, your responsibility. We are not in a time where humanity is going to end. Maybe it would be selfish if we were in The Last of Us and there were hardly any humans left.
I actually don't think it'd be selfish then either. Yeah. I don't think it's anyone's responsibility to continue on the human line. If you don't want to have kids, you don't have kids.
Yeah.
Sorry, nature won.
Nature returns.
If the last two humans on Earth were like, we should probably have some kids, and they were like, I don't want to. Whoops.
Well, bye, if everyone. We learned anything from Jurassic Park, life finds a way. It does find a way. One of those people would just immaculately get pregnant.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine that happening?
Hopefully it would be the man. And that's when, like, the whole of humanity changes its, like, direction, and we're like, yeah.
And then we're like, wait. Okay, let's continue this. I changed my mind. Oh, wait, if men got pregnant, they'd be like, wait, I've changed my mind.
Well, we would change our mind because then yes, and then men would be like, oh no.
Well, maybe they should just try smiling more.
Maybe they should. Maybe.
I think I would be a wonderful birther of children.
Yes. You take such good care of them, leaving their poop out on the grass.
You would How be dare friend. You use this against me? And why are my children pooping on the grass?
Because clearly they are like dogs.
And you're like, no, yes, but we're talking about, like, I don't know, it's almost like post-apocalyptic, like maybe indoor plumbing hasn't made a comeback yet.
Oh, okay.
So clearly they're pooping on the grass.
Well, we're not talking about the fact that you let your dog poop on the grass, no.
It's okay, take this old magazine.
I hope Alan doesn't listen to this. So this book comes out. This is gaining some headway in the church circles. And then the thing came out that really ruined or fixed or made everything better, depending on how you look at it, the internet.
the cause and solution to all of problems.
Yes, exactly. So there started popping up sites, mailing lists, chat groups, and this is really where Quiverful was born.
The internet.
Yeah. Okay. Now, one thing that I kind of have a problem with, and one of the videos I'll talk about in a second mention this, is there's a lot of almost glorifying groups like this in the media. Like, they actually had a Quiverful family on the news where they're like, oh, look at this fun group. But there's a lot of, like, subjugation and lots of problems that come with this. Another example is in 2008, the Duggar family.
The Duggars!
Yep, 19 kids and counting. It was a TV show on TLC.
I remember.
Yep. They were actually a Quiverful family. So now we're taking this lifestyle and putting it on TV, acting like, look at how wonderful this can be.
Yes. Well, and I will say, none of them have actively said they are Quiverful. Yeah. So that's, like, one of the weird things about this. It's, like, that it's kind of the value behind it. People don't always know the phrase that relates it to the specific quote from the Bible. But there is this idea of having many children and leaving that up to God, and the girls getting married young, and, like, and their purpose is to have children, like, educating the boys, not educating the girls.
I think it's a theme that it's kind of across many religious, I guess, histories and religions itself, is having a big family. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not religious, I feel like childbirth does feel compulsory, even if it's not. It's like in quotes, right? So, yeah, maybe people don't realize they're actually buying into the Quiverful Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
But they drank the Flavor-Aid.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Actually,
I know what you're referencing, and I hate you. So should we talk about some of the bad? That can you imagine any bad within Quiverful?
Oh, I mean, if you can find something bad.
I hate you. So one thing I found that I'm going to share here that was very telling is if you go on YouTube, I found it's called My Quiverful Cult Experience as a Daughter, Wife, and Mother. Rolls right off your tongue.
All of the things.
You could also just type in Quiverful, and it was one of the first things that popped up for me.
There you go.
But she is a person who was born into Quiverful. So she's lived as a daughter in it. She grew up and had a kid while being Quiverful. And now she has exited from the group and she's living, she said she's kind of in the deconstructing religion phase right now, kind of towards the end of that.
It's a fun phase.
Yeah.
Faith crisis.
So this was not a great experience for her.
What?
But she talks about her story, and she's very open and honest with some of her physical problems that she's gone through over time. So I thought it was very telling. But she talks about being in this group that believes that you must have children. It doesn't take women's health into account. Because I saw a statistic that really a woman should only have about 3 kids, because after that, it's really a strain on your body and your heart.
Yeah.
So when you have somebody with 19 kids, 66 kids, like, that's dangerous to the woman. And
there used to be a thing that was, I think, more common prior to all our advances, where, like, women would lose, like, a tooth for each child that they had because, like, of the nutrients and everything that gets drawn from the body. Like, now it happens less because, you know, prenatal vitamins or something. But, yeah, like, it's called labor for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took a drink.
Oh.
So she talks about, despite her mom's health and despite her mom not wanting to have more kids, because there's already 7, herself and 6 siblings, the dad would keep pressuring her, no, we need to have more, we need to have more.
My quiver is not full enough.
My quiver is full, you need to take it.
you fill up your quiver, I'm done.
Like, yeah.
Jeez.
So, and this was a common thing that came up in a few different stories that I watched on YouTube with a lot of pressure on these women to just keep having kids. So, right off the bat, we're seeing, was that you or Marley?
It was my belly. My belly made a gurgle sound. It was Marley. It was totally Marley.
She said another issue she had is because this is such a financial strain, all the kids had to be homeschooled. So now you're taking kids away from socialization.
Yeah. Well, and it's not even like that's why, like, because honestly, public schooling is free.
That's true. Control.
But, socialism.
But, I'm just kidding. That was sarcasm. Socialism. But, like, homeschooling is where you can control the values that are being instilled in the children. So you don't have to worry about, you know, the sinful nature of other things being introduced to them.
Yeah. Which is very problematic, because when you have to hide your children from life to instill certain values, not great.
Nope. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I guess if you have 19 siblings, maybe you are socializing, but you're socializing, like, within, like, a silo, you know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
You're not, like, learning social skills and difference and conflict resolution. Maybe you are. I mean, 19 siblings, there's a lot of conflict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what this person talked about is having 6 siblings, and I guess there was a 12-year gap between her and her closest sibling.
Whoa.
I think that was this one. I might be getting stuff confused, but she talked about, like, getting her period for the first time, or, like, having quote-unquote impure thoughts as a teenager. You're not going to go to your sibling and be like, I just fantasized about fucking a man, you know? Yeah. You don't have that, like, camaraderie with people outside the situation to talk about it with.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you're staying home and being homeschooled and not getting out into public much, and all you have is siblings for influence.
I couldn't find any evidence of that, but I mean, that's a natural thought process.
Well, and maybe not in this situation, but actually one of the huge problems within Quiverful is sexual abuse against specifically against the girls and women. Well, women, because they have to have sex whenever someone, their husband demands it. They don't get a choice in whether or not they're going to have it.
So marital rape is just
normal. Marital rape, yeah. Very normal. We're going to have to put some trigger warnings at the beginning of this.
Sorry.
Oh, no. Like, just, we always forget. We're like, we should make note of these trigger warnings. And then, of course, then it would happen kind of even amongst the children or between, like, the fathers and the female children. Like, very interesting, strange relationships develop between fathers and their daughters within this, because the daughter is also considered to be long to the father until he gives her away to her husband.
Oh, no.
So it doesn't necessarily mean they're always doing sexual things with them, but it's been known to happen. And then also siblings, like, and that came out with the Duggars, that the one Duggar kid who's now in jail, who's not a kid anymore, now he's an adult, but he used to go in and molest the younger girls, where they even put a lock on their door to the big room that they shared to keep him out.
Wow.
Jeez.
And so they knew about it, and rather than doing anything about it, they just put a lock on the door. And a big problem, but you see, it's not the men's fault that they're doing this.
You just made Jesse spit out their coffee.
Because of the whoredom of the female sex.
Oh, that makes sense, though.
Like, it is her fault that she is causing the men to act this way with, you know, the way they dress, with the way they behave, by existing, you know.
It's disturbing, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But you know what's interesting, and I'm going to throw this out there. So the parents who have complete control over their kids are the ones who are giving their children those clothes. So now you're going to turn around and say, but their daughter's dressing like a whore?
Well, I mean, there are, even if the boobs are completely covered,
okay,
there are boobs underneath there.
And she's putting out there's pheromones.
Oh my god.
She whoredom. Wants it.
Jeez.
Just for the record, we don't believe anything.
Yeah, no, this is the most offensive trash.
I'm so tired.
We laugh to deal with the trauma.
Yeah. From weeping. Yeah. Really, yeah. It's atrocious.
It really is. And I guess it won't come as any surprise to either of you then that this person talked about being forced to go to the 16-hour course, where she also had to read a book.
I hate it when that happens. I hate reading.
Wait a minute.
No, sorry, keep going.
So this course is the IBLP, or it's from the Institute of Basic Life Principles by Bill Gotthard.
Oh, Gotthard.
No,
this Gotthard.
Bill Gotthard.
No, we like to call him Gotthard.
I know, but that will come into play in a minute. So she was forced to read and watch the 16-hour videos with the book, and the book actually came under fire for its cult hintings.
What?
What?
Aww.
It was actually also used by the Duggars. So we're seeing some connections here. Part of this belief is something I actually have heard about before, where it's believed that it is against God's will to go into debt. So you cannot have credit cards, you can't have a mortgage, you can't have car payments, you have to pay everything with
now,
cash.
Now, 1 minute. tell me more.
I think I believe in God now, just so I don't have to go into debt.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is against my religious freedoms that I am in debt right now. This must be forgiven because this is not God's will.
All that shit's bullshit. Yeah.
And so Bill Gotthard. We call him this because he actually, in 2014, came under fire for sexual assault. That's so weird that these people
I'm shocked.
Who make these groups are actual sexual deviants.
That's just crazy. I mean, these men that think that they have the right to everything and women don't have the ability to have their own opinion or say in what they do or perform, that's really strange that they would take advantage and abuse. It's weird.
Shocking.
Yeah. So what really bothers me, I've gone down, I told you, I've been going down all these holes. Not like Gotthard.
Different holes.
Only Alan's hole.
I'm going to play this part back.
So one of the things that really bothers me is with the way the country is right now, with the way certain beliefs are being thrown on us, I had a discussion with my ex-tattoo artist once where he was kind of shaming me for, at the time, I was polyamorous. And he said, in his opinion, everybody should just live under God's rules. And I'm like, I asked him, what God are you referring to? Because there's a lot of different gods, and you don't like certain beliefs under other gods. So which one are you talking about? And he said, well, the one God. And then I just started thinking, well, even the one God, we can't all agree on which one's correct. Because you've got Christian fundamentalists, you got Christian is Protestants, or is that Catholic?
Well, there's the Catholicism, the fundamentalists, there's Protestants. There's all different forms.
And what bothers me is with a lot of these new groups that are pushing, like, drag queens are evil, abortion's evil, gay is evil. I'm not going into your fucking house and telling you you have to fuck a man in the ass. I keep that for what I like to do. I support you having all these kids and being stupid. As long as you're not subjugating or hurting people, which in a lot of these cases you are.
Yeah.
Right.
So why do you have to come into my bedroom? I'm not going into yours.
I just think this is interesting. Like, was he just saying this to you while he's got, like, a needle on you?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't move, you know? Like, I just can imagine how uncomfortable that must have been. You're just like, oh, what can I say?
Right, well, what's funny, though, this road goes two ways, ex-tattoo artist, because even while you were needling me, we got very close, me and ex-tattoo artist. He admitted to me, he was living with a woman who was his girlfriend, and he's like, I went out and fucked a chick last night. I'm like, don't you live with Jen? And he was like, yeah. I was like, so you cheated on her? And he's like, is that really considered cheating? I was like,
what? I think it's a basic definition. Wait, isn't that, like, in the Bible? Like, I haven't read it in a long, like,
it's in the Bible, but is he really talking to men when he says this, or is he really talking about how women should stay in their place and not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Fair. Fair.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting when there's certain religious people I've met who are all about, like, controlling my life, are condemning me, when I'm like, look at yourself first. Like, what are you doing?
They need to do some mirror work.
Yeah.
Probably while on shrooms.
Yeah. And probably on shrooms, yeah. So, yeah, that's just my thing. Like, I don't know. These groups
are disturbing.
Yeah. So, if you do want more information, or if you know anybody who is in Quiverful or even a group like this, I actually found... there is a blog called No Longer Quivering.
No Longer Quivering.
I love this title.
Yeah.
This was started by Vicky Garrison, who was in Quiverful for 16 years, and now she's an atheist.
Whoa.
Whoa.
How the tables turn.
How the turns of tables.
Turns yep.
of tables.
So she talks about pretty much the same thing. There's a lot of pressure for her to keep having babies despite her wishes to not. So that is another interesting thing that we talk about, you know, women's rights with abortion, yet the same people who are pushing for that are the ones who are like, no, you have to have babies against your will. So,
yeah,
I don't know. And then she actually doesn't run it anymore. Vicky stepped away, and now ex-member Suzanne Titkemeyer. She's been running it. She's also an ex-member.
Yeah. And I think there was a really interesting thing that Vicky had talked about in this blog, because there are some people that say that Quiverful is actually a women's movement, like a women-led movement. And part of that is because a lot of times it ends up being the woman that brings the family to the movement, surprisingly. And this happens a lot. Usually they're within religion first. Usually religion is the first thing. They're some sort of Christian. And then usually the next step is then homeschooling. So getting kids into homeschooling. And when you're in that homeschooling group, you're connecting with other homeschooling parents. And because there's already a large presence of kind of Quiverful families doing that, they then start kind of getting exposed to some more of these beliefs. And what she said is a lot of time that you'll see that there are decently powerful women that are married to men who a lot of time are not necessarily, like, they're the high performers in the family and the men aren't. And it becomes something where they see this as an opportunity for their men to step up to the plate. So, and I'm not sure if I'm confusing people, but I believe Vicky's the one whose husband was blind. Yes?
I'm not sure. I didn't really read into her except for that she runs the site.
Yeah. So I believe, like, her husband was blind. So he actually, she was the breadwinner. He stayed home and cared for the kids. But as they kind of came into, they then decided to have the kids homeschooled. She learned more about these, like, kind of quiverful ideals and really saw, like, oh, this is a way that, like, I can raise my husband up to be the man that he's meant to be. And that's by me being the woman that supports him and cares for the home and care, like, puts him above all things. So she started a paper or magazine sort of thing and made him like the president of it. And so it was kind of like he became this figurehead where she was still the one doing all the work on that, but also then quit her full-time job and was just then taking home care of the home and the children and everything. And for her, it became extra extreme because she was also secretly kind of leading this newspaper with him as the figurehead, but not able to tell anyone about it because then it would be considered shameful by their peers. But because these men obviously, like, I mean, not always lazy, but a lot of these ones that did not perform and were not doing stuff, like, they were complacent, they were not driven, and weren't in that own space to be motivated to be the head. But then when they're then given this power over other people, I guess toward the end, he became really abusive towards her and like told her that she wasn't subservient enough and took her children and like went to his parents' home with her and was like, you think about this, like, and I need you to like be more subservient again by the time I return. And they started like poisoning the children against her, like, jeez, that she's not behaving as a woman should. And like at this point she was like still full on quiverful, like, I mean, obviously the one kind of leading the magazine because he wasn't and he was just being a figurehead. Jeez. But like his like, it, there's an enabling thing, right? If you take people and you enable them in this way, then there grows this entitlement of this is the way that it should be done. And then they're giving these values to children who are then the guys growing up this way and the girls growing up thinking that this is 100% what they need to do. This is their role to be submissive and to put the men first. And but yeah, so that's like kind of started her leaving of the church. And then when she finally got her kids back from him, I think after a while they were kind of able to see a little bit what was actually going on there. But yeah, like just so interesting to me because she's like, it sounds crazy, but it's a women's movement in a way. Like these women do the homeschooling. They're already religious. They do the homeschooling because they see this as a way of protecting their kids, raising their kids with the right values. And then they tend to meet these people that have this other more extreme value,
right?
And then they kind of buy into that and they'll bring their husbands to that movement.
It almost sounds like it starts off like, you know, with good intentions of like wanting, they're like, well, you know, I want to protect my kids, even though we understand that there's like a lot of harm done in actually like isolating your children from other beliefs. But like, but then it just kind of gets really dark.
Yeah.
You know, because then at that point it's like, oops.
Yeah.
I've like worked us into a place where I am now expected to be subservient and like it's not just like I'm a supportive role. It's like, no, I'm actually beneath you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But scary.
Well, it's interesting. You just made me think the YouTube video I watched, the My Quiverful Cult Experience as a Daughter, Wife, and Mother, rolls right off the tongue. she talked about that too because she was with a man who was religious but not as quiverful as she was. So she would tell him, like, no, we don't use protection. Like, just give me preggers. Like, if it happens, it happens. He's like, I don't feel comfortable with that. She's like, that's God's will. Like, she's the one who kind of pulled him in. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little crazy. But it's like, so it's like women's led, but also it's like a lot of times, like, if they've been raised that way, like, they've already been brainwashed, basically. Yeah. Like, they have been given these values. There's definitely not a point where this value has been chosen by them. It's just been bestowed to them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, like, of course, there's sex. Like, obviously, sex is very important to this, mm-hmm. but is also very taboo. You don't talk about sex, but you have it and you have the babies, but only if you're married. Like, courtship rituals, like, there's this whole element of, like, they are not allowed to touch each other, not even like for a hug or shaking of a hand beforehand. No, definitely no kissing. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, no doing that. And a lot of then the marriages happen to go really quick when they're young, right. Like under 18, often right. Within 2 months of knowing each other. And then at that point, they're basically sold to be a sex slave to this person.
Well, it's like you have to fast track the dating process. Mm-hmm. If you can't explore sexuality as part of dating, people will often fast track it because they're like, well, and then, you know, you have the, you know, we understand that like true love and respect and devotion is something that's built over time, mm-hmm. not when you're, you know, feeling all those happy chemicals when you first meet somebody and they're paying attention to you. And it's like, oh, that's exciting. And of course, you're going to want to fast track everything because you're like, this is it. And then you have this whole belief system backing that up. And at the center of it is this like moral integrity that like, if you follow these steps, not only will you be a good person, but we will accept you. Mm-hmm. 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 I mean, absolutely. It's a recipe for disaster and just making these choices where like shame. Shame is at the center of all that you do, especially sex and orgasming. Shame. Yes.
Well, and if we think back to our Psalm 127.
I love how you bring that back.
You're welcome. One thing I want to talk about that is a danger is this whole little line, so are children of the youth. So from a young age,
they want you having them young.
Yeah, they're already setting up that it's okay for young girls to start popping out those babies, get it going, which probably also sets up the kind of father-daughter thing, because that's what women do.
Yeah, very disturbing. And then, when it comes to sex, of course, despite the fact that it's very important to their beliefs, sex has to be done the right way. You know, a man with a woman. No other way, because any other combination does not result in babies.
Yeah.
So should not be happening. So blowjobs are right out, you guys. That's basically shooting babies down someone's throat. We gotta save that sacred sperm to put it in the vagina.
What if I shocked me? Yeah. What if I spit it in the vagina after?
Oh no. Why?
There's no quiverful thrubbles? Like,
yeah, next time, you know, I give Alan a little happy, I'll just spit it in your vagina afterwards.
Thank you. I am of Sean. Part of our arrangement. But yeah, so yeah, none of that. That's sinful to do that because, and definitely not in the back door.
You mean anal?
Yes.
Thank you. I had no idea what you said.
No anal sex because you can't have babies from there. We don't do that.
You know what I don't understand is the people who probably made these beliefs were fucking around everywhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A lot of these people in charge in these groups, they have a lot of sex. So why did they write this in?
Yeah.
They wanted to save people for them?
I don't know. I think it's just about control.
Control.
Yeah.
That's and why
deep fear and hatred of femininity.
Yes.
Knowing how powerful it is. Mm-hmm. Just putting it out there. Like, that's they true. Were like, holy shit. This is scary.
Yeah. I mean, create life. It's so interesting, like, how necessary it is. And then it's like this necessary thing that has this amazing gift. So therefore, it must be controlled.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't even know if that was like the originally way things were anyway, but it's, yeah, it certainly became that for some reason, but yeah.
The women used to have, I mean, when you look at a lot of societies, way yeah, matriarchal was the way.
Yeah.
Until there was, I feel like it was a lot more common up until there were things like, you know, the Christian church.
Something like that. Like, yeah. I mean, I don't quote me, I'm not a historian, I'm sure, but.
And yeah, other different religions that came from prophets sort of thing, like.
I was just thinking.
Prophet, like P-R-O-F-I-T?
Oh, both. Think, why not both?
Do you think they were worried if people are jerking off, giving blowjobs, fucking in the ass? I like how you say anal sex, I say fucking in the ass. Do you think churches were afraid if they're doing that, then it's like a form of contraception because they're not making babies?
Exactly, yeah.
Like, because for them, the whole contraception thing, it's like sex is not for pleasure. Sex is for babies. If babies are not being made, there should not be sex.
Yeah.
Which is
basically
dumb.
Anything that gives the body pleasure is of the devil.
Yes. And anything that gives women power is of the devil.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That one I understand.
So you were saying earlier that, like, people don't know they're quiverful. They're sort of buying into the doctrine, but they might not be like, what's that, you know?
Yeah.
But so there's not, like, a meeting or a conference or a website or anything, like.
Right. And actually, This is a good segue into our Cabos.
Cabos!
Actually, real quick, before we get there, I forgot. I did want to talk about one last thing on the YouTube video, just to put the thought out there.
Okay.
So I had never heard of this before. Both of you probably have. This woman talked about after she got married, they were looking forward to just having sex, but she developed vaginismus, mm-hmm. where she was so nervous to have sex that basically it closed up and he couldn't get in for 3 months.
Tightening of the muscles. Absolutely. It's very common.
Is
like,
it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and yeah. So there's like lots of things that go into that. There's trust in your person you're with. Mm-hmm. So like if you can, like there's the, if there's no safety, not only could this be a result of previous trauma that exists, but also trauma is created when like it's like this arises and someone just tries to make it work, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And that's another thing. When you don't get to know someone and, like, have sexual experiences prior to marriage, like, you don't know how to help make these things work. You're discouraged from, like,
knowledge.
Masturbation. Yeah. Like, knowing how to find pleasure within yourself and know what feels comfortable and good for you.
Yeah. For sex being such a huge thing as it relates to reproduction, there's not a lot of education around it at all.
Yeah.
You know? It's, well, I mean, period. But
that's part of it.
Specifically with, yes, yeah, I see you know your stuff.
I watch Turning Red. I know stuff.
But not only that, period, like, sex education is terrible. But then, like, specifically within, like, morally centered religious communities, it can be not even present, right? Yeah. Or just completely deficient. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, our Cabos. So, we go through our terms, our tenets, if you will.
Oh, okay.
So,
of what makes a cult a cult?
What makes a cult a cult?
Oh, okay. As I don't, I'm so not asked, a regular.
He'll I'll give walk us these through. Things.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, is there a charismatic leader?
Not really. So, there's not one main leader, but there is the element of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that a lot of this stems from, like, religious beliefs where there are pastors that are doing sermons where they pull in these teachings. And, yeah, so it's not one leader, but there's definitely.
I saw a terrible one where he was preaching about God's. Jesse's getting ready for it. They're already taking in a deep breath.
Fine.
He was talking about God's natural, like, contraceptive, because after a woman has a baby, as long as she's breastfeeding, that stops her from just getting pregnant again.
It's not true. Not true. That is blatantly a lie. That is 100% a lie.
Apparently, according to one of the people, like, who's outside of the group, it can be true if they're just constantly breastfeeding, but it's to a point where it's like you'd constantly have to do it.
It's not 100% though. Like,
yeah.
When you're talking about, like, it works, it's like maybe you're less likely to then. But yeah, this is why a lot of people have two babies really close together, because they end up believing things like yeah. that. And then, burp, and it happens so often that, like, I would say that's not even a thing. That's, like, the chances of you becoming pregnant are probably just as likely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine.
Yeah.
How about alienation?
So, 100% there's alienation in yeah. this, because they're taking their kids out of, like, normal school, putting them into homeschool, like, giving them these ideals and beliefs, and, I mean, one of the driving forces to taking them out of regular school is to make sure they have these beliefs.
Yep. Because, of course, if they're able to talk to anyone about this, they're gonna start to get a lot of pushback.
We can't have them thinking for themselves.
Yeah, no.
Critical thinking, terrible.
How about a belief system?
Is there a belief system?
It's at the core of this.
Yeah. outside evil.
I mean, they definitely don't like the Muslims. I'll tell you that. They are in a race. We need to put all these out there. But I think that's, like, the outside evil. It is. That's why they're, like, raising their army for God, basically.
Yeah. It's true.
Because of the sinful people like myself who are tearing out their fallopian tubes so they can't bear children and can only have sinful sex. Yes!
And people like me only have sex with men.
Yes!
Yes! And sense of community.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. So I'd say, in my opinion, this one, just like many a religion, like, is knocking at a cult's door. But it's not quite a cult because there's not, like, a central figure yeah, directly profiting off of them.
Yeah, there's not the home location, the home commune that everyone's at.
It's, like, culty, but yeah. it's not a cult.
It's culty. And honestly, the beliefs are just close enough to these religious beliefs that it really is, like, just spreading like crazy, and then affects things like our everyday government. They all people that believe this were huge in bringing down Roe versus Wade,
yeah.
In doing the protests outside of Planned Parenthood's. Like, it is pervasive, and I really feel like the belief in this is also very tied to theocracy, because the whole, like, race to create more of the population is, you know, getting more people in power with these beliefs. Like, the Quiverful beliefs have been tied to Sarah Palin, to Mitt Romney.
Jesus.
Like, Mitt Romney quoted the psalm, the Quiverful part of it, at a commencement speech that he gave somewhere. It's finding its way into our government, you guys, very subtly.
I think it's
And now the rights are gone.
I think the calls come from inside the house at this point.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And what I compare this to on a very simple scale is, I think I talked to you about this before, Cracker Barrel, the restaurant. I
love Cracker Barrel.
I know. I'm not going to say anything bad about them. I'm going to praise them, actually.
Oh, okay.
They put out a vegan option. People went apeshit. Why the hell do you have a vegan option? You are so woke. And my thing is, why do you care? Just don't order it.
Don't.
You're letting more people have options.
Order the thing that you don't want.
And that's,
no one's making you do the thing you don't want.
And that's how I see, like, Roe v. Wade. If you don't want to have an abortion because it's against your religion, don't have one. But why can't all the rest of us eat vegan food if we want vegan food?
Yeah,
it's horrifying.
Horrifying people, absolutely horrifying. Not staying in their own lane, like, and control.
Yeah,
when it comes to control,
power and control,
power and control. Well, this was fun to talk about, and we finally did it.
Yay!
After like 6 episodes,
so
not
good.
Coming back to it.
You're so good,
Jesse. I'll let you do the honors if you want. Where can people find you?
Nowhere. Well, today I'm going to be, today I'll be with you two, and tomorrow I'll still be here. That's where they can find me.
They can also find your beautiful voice on episodes.
Oh, right.
That's really what I meant. I
don't care. A real bodice ripper.
Real bodice ripper. Yeah, you can listen to Real Bodice Ripper.
Which there'll definitely be more episodes when we get our lives together as human beings.
Yeah. So, yes, Jesse is the other half of this podcast that Rachel says centrally on every one of our shows.
A real bodice ripper.
I think Rachel's like using her voice.
Yeah, sexy ways. It's working for me. I want to make a few babies with
her. Oh my God.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
And you can find me on Solving for X, where we are on the best season of the X-Men series, season 4. And you can find me on Words of the Witches, where Kevin and I are on. We just finished up. We are finishing up season 9 of the Charmed comics. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's exciting. Wow.
Where else can they find us?
They can also find us on the marvelous galaxy of Disney.
Marvelous.
Whoops. where we talk about Disney things with Alan.
Or Jesse this week.
Or Jesse this week.
Happy to be here.
Yay. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye. Bye.